Today's reading is from John 19, then 16 to 19, then 28 to 42, and you'll find that on 1087. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." And then we move down to the bottom of the page to 28. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. When they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you may believe. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And, as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 35 kilograms. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices and strips of linen. This was in accordance with the Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks so much, Erin. Do keep those Bible passages open in front of you. We'll be coming back to them throughout our service. But first of all, have you ever done that slightly annoying thing where you keep just asking why to anything that someone says? I'm sure we've all done it. But it actually can be kind of helpful as well to work out why something is happening. What is going on? What is going on in this world around us? And I thought we'd have a little go at that now. I'll say something and I want you to say why after it. Just sort of channel your inner slightly annoying child. Go for it. Okay. So now this Friday is called Good Friday.
Why?
Good question. You know, it seems like it should be Bad Friday or Sad Friday, but the answer is it's Good Friday because Jesus died on the cross to forgive us our sins.
Why?
Because this was all part of God's big rescue plan.
Why?
Because he loves his people so much. Now, we're going to stop there because otherwise it's going to get really tedious for the rest of the service. But we could keep on going asking why and why and why. And in the end, the answer is because that's what God has decided. He's God, and we're not. And there are some things we're never going to know exactly why. We're never going to be able to get to the bottom of all the whys we want to ask. But the Bible gives us lots of help explaining why Good Friday really is Good Friday. And we're going to be looking at some of the last words that Jesus said, that Em's just read for us, some of Jesus' last words from the cross to help us understand why Good Friday really is Good Friday. And those three words are, "It is finished." It was there in verse 30 at the top of page 1088. It is finished. And again, I want you to stay awake, stay involved this afternoon. So whenever I'm going to say it is finished, I'm going to give you a thumbs up and I want you to join in with me. Okay? So, Jesus' last words on the cross were... Brilliant. So keep your eyes out and your ears open for that as we come through. Because Jesus said, it is finished. Not a weak little, I am finished. Not a cheery little, I'm off now, all done. But a victory statement. It is finished. Mission accomplished. Job done. Because you see, ever since Jesus came down to earth, that first Christmas, he had been on a mission. And nothing and no one was going to stop him from completing that mission. Now, I thought we'd challenge someone here for a little mission. Does anyone here like Cadbury's cream eggs? Josh, do you fancy doing a mission? Come on, Josh, come and join me at the front. I've got a Cadbury's cream egg here. There you go. This, if you can achieve your mission, it's all yours. But it's going to be a bit of a challenging mission, this. And I'm going to need a few of the helpers. Monty Rupert, can you come and help me? Right, Josh, your challenge is to not laugh for 45 seconds. Now, Monty Rupert, I'm going to try and put you off. I'm not going to let them tickle you because I think that would be a bit too unfair. But they're going to try and put you off. And so are everyone else in the congregation. Well, see if you can try. Remember, it's a cream egg at stake if you can complete your mission. Everyone else, we're going to try and help make Josh laugh as well. And these two are our chief laugh makers for Josh. Okay, are we ready, Josh? Are you steady? Go. Anyone else keep pull funny faces, try and make him laugh? Yeah, oh, we've got some people laugh. Oh, well, then go, right, go and see yourself. Like, Josh, you failed dismally in your mission. So sadly, the chocolate egg isn't yours. Now, it's a good job that mission didn't really matter greatly because Josh failed dismally. But the thing is, Jesus and his mission, Jesus didn't fail dismally. And his mission really mattered. His mission mattered a lot more than managing not to laugh for, I think, all of about 10 seconds that you managed there, Josh. Because Jesus' mission really did matter. And he never got distracted. He never got put off. He never got waylaid. He had his mission and nothing was going to stop him from doing it. No one could put him off. Even Rupert pulling funny faces would not have been able to put Jesus off his mission. And his mission came with a great big to-do list. We're going to have a quick think about Jesus' to-do list for his mission. And here it is. Number one was to live a perfect life. And tick, Jesus did this. He was never selfish or greedy. He never lied or hurt anyone. All the time he was trying to praise God and give him all the glory in everything he did and said. Part one of the to-do list, done. Number two, give a trailer of God's perfect kingdom. And again, tick, Jesus did this. He made blind people see. He made lame people walk. He could feed thousands of people with a little boy's pack-up. He even brought Lazarus from death to life. Jesus gave a trailer, a little taster of what life forever with God is like. A place where there's no sickness or crying or bad or sad things. His miracles showed us that he was God. But his miracles also showed us about the amazing life that's on offer with Jesus in his kingdom. Number three on his to-do list, fulfill the Old Testament. Tick, Jesus did this. We thought last All Age service about how the whole Bible is about Jesus. And if you look down at our passage today, we see verse 24. This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled. Then again in verse 28 and verse 36. Everything in the Old Testament was getting people ready for that special rescuer. And here Jesus is, completing God's mission by showing that the whole Old Testament was pointing to him. And then number four on the mission list, die as a substitute sacrifice. And this brings us right to the very heart of our passage today. This is where we see Jesus finish the last bit of his mission. This was the hardest part of his mission, but still, he kept going. He succeeded. Unlike Josh in his mission, Jesus succeeded in his. Because you see, Jesus could have stopped at any time. You know, when the soldiers were beating him, he could have zapped them and they'd have gone. When he was carrying the heavy cross up the hill, he could have said, "Be gone," and the cross just would have gone away. When he was in great pain, hungry, thirsty, on the cross, he could have just got down. But he didn't. He knew that his mission was to head to the cross and die as a sacrifice, as a swap for sinful people like you and me. And sometimes in life, we find that we need someone to swap places with us if there's something that we can't do. Now, I wonder, I need a couple more volunteers. Theo, do you think you could help me? Do you want to come and help me? Yeah, you can come and help me. Anyone else? Nikki, do you want to come and help me? Do you want to come and help me?
No, you don't.
Alex, do you want to come and help me? Yeah, come and join me. Alex, do you want to come and help me? Come on.
Oh, okay. Let's see if we can have one more person.
Oh, Phoenix, do you want to come and help me? Brilliant. Okay. Now, I've got some tasks for you. I'm not quite sure whether you'll be able to answer it. Come and join me on stage. Right, Alex. Could you get the lid off this jar of marmalade for me? Well, you keep trying. Alec, I left a cross up there. Do you think you can get it down for me? Okay. Oh, and Felix, could you try and pick up that speaker for me? Yeah, that one. That was not quite well. Right, well done. You succeeded. I think you deserve a chocolate egg for that. Well done. Yes. But you two, Alex and Alec, can you go and find someone who might be able to help you do the job I've given you to do? Find someone you can swap with. See if they can do the job you couldn't do. Go on, so you can find someone. Alex, see if you can find someone to open my jar of marmalade for me. Oh, and Sarah. I think you might be able to make it, Sarah. Go on, Sarah. See if you can reach down that cross for me. Oh, so close. Where's the other side? And if this is being brought in, see if you can open the jam jar. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Liz. Now, did you see? Alec couldn't get the cross down. He needed someone to come and help him. Alex couldn't get my marmalade jar open. He needed someone to swap places and to do that job for them. And the thing is, it's a bit similar to how we all need Jesus. You know, because by ourselves, it's impossible for any of us to be friends with God. Because we all say and think and do wrong things. We live lives that are selfish and greedy. We fail in living a perfect life. But because Jesus ticks all of these boxes, he was able to swap places with us to be our substitute, our sacrifice. He swapped places with us in a much bigger, better way. None of us could have faced the punishment of God the way that Jesus could. We'd have had to face it ourselves, and that would have been horrendous. But Jesus swapped places with us because he was perfect. He was, like Sarah was taller than Alec and able to reach down the cross for us. Like Wiz was stronger than Alex and able to open up our jam jar. In a much, much bigger and greater way, Jesus was perfect when we are not, and was able to be our substitute, our swap on the cross. Jesus faced the punishment for our sin when he died on the cross. And God the Father punished him instead of punishing us. So, tick the last part of Jesus' mission, to die as a substitute, a sacrifice. So that was Jesus' big rescue mission. And at the point where he died on the cross, that was job done, mission accomplished. It is finished. And Jesus really died. He had to for that swap to be effective, to really work. For him to take the punishment that we deserve. That last part of the reading that Aaron just read for us showed us that Jesus was really dead. You know, him being stabbed in the side, verse 34, and the blood and the water flowing out, that only happens when someone dies. And then we see in verses 39 and 40, he was put in a tomb by Nicodemus and Joseph. You know, the Romans knew how to kill people. It was their job. They were very good at it. So Jesus can't have sort of just pretended to be dead. He was really and properly dead. And he needed to be that substitute, that sacrifice, that swap. And he did it for us. That was his rescue mission. And at the cross, he said, "It is finished," because he'd completed the mission. That's why Good Friday is really good. But let's just think for a couple of minutes, just as we finish, why that is so good and what that means for us. And first of all, Jesus saying, "It is finished," means that he has done everything for us. Because maybe we think, well, you know, it's all well and good. Now, Jesus died on the cross, yeah, I get that. But now we must be able to make God pleased with us by living a good life. But by doing enough things, maybe we've got a big to-do list from God. But no, when Jesus said, "It is finished," he really meant it. God doesn't have a big to-do list for us if we trust in Jesus. Yes, our lives will be completely changed and look completely different. But we don't have to do anything to earn God's love. That's what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, everything was done for us. So we don't have to try and earn our way to God. You know, being kind to others, coming along to church, giving money to charity, saying our prayers, you know, they're all really, really good things to be doing. But we don't do them as if we sort of got a sticker chart from God that we need to fill in. Because, you know, we'll never be kind enough, or generous enough, or live in a godly enough way to meet God's standards. Our sticker charts are always, to be honest, going to be empty. And that just means we're going to fail and get worn down and get despondent and probably be quite bitter and angry towards God. But instead, if we trust in him, trust in Jesus, trust that he swapped places with us, it's like we get Jesus' sticker chart, which is absolutely full. And Jesus' name gets crossed out. And our name gets put in its place. We get Jesus' full record, his perfect life. That was what his mission was all about. And that's how God sees us now. If we're trusting in Jesus, if we've let him be our substitute, he sees us as perfect. Because Jesus completed his mission. Job done. It is finished. He's died on the cross in our place. So if we're trying to earn our way there, if we're trying to, as it were, earn stickers on a sticker chart for God, can I encourage you to stop it? Because it's not going to work. It's just going to wear us out. Make us exhausted. Make us grumpy at God. Instead, we can come to Jesus. Admit that we can't live up to God's standards, which are so high no one can live up to them. Ask him to be our substitute. Accept his rescue. And now try to live life his way. Not to earn God's love, but in recognition that Jesus has done everything we need. And now we get to enjoy the privilege of having God as our Father. Do grab me after the service if you want to chat more about that. So first of all, the cross reminds us that Jesus has done everything for us. And lastly, the cross reminds us that God loves us so much. Maybe we're prone to think that, yeah, the Easter story, that sounds wonderful, but does God really love me? You know, life is tough. There are so many bad and sad things that go on in our lives. Big things, small things. But when they come, it's easy to think, Does God really care? Does God love me? Well, Jesus' cry of "it is finished" blows that idea out the water. You know, if as a Christian we're prone to think like this, look to the cross. Because there we see just how much God loves us. You know, if we love someone, we do all sorts of things, don't we? Maybe we give them a hug. Maybe we make sure we spend time with them. Maybe we make something nice for them. Maybe we help them when things are hard. Well, Jesus shows us just how much God loves us in the most amazing way when he died on the cross. Because he stepped in to face the punishment for all the wrong things that we've done, when we've lived as enemies of God, and he rescued us. We couldn't do that by ourselves. That's a massive show of love. Can you imagine if you took the punishment for something that you didn't do to rescue someone who you loved? That would show just how much you love them, if you took their punishment for them. You see, Jesus' rescue mission wasn't just a list of tasks to do. It was a mission of love. So even when life is rough, when life is horrible, and maybe it feels like God's against us, we can look back to the cross and hear Jesus' words, "It is finished." And remember that if we're trusting in him, God loves us so much that Jesus went through all of that so that we don't have to. We can remember that God loves us so much. So Good Friday really is Good Friday. It's Good Friday because Jesus' cry of "it is finished" means that it's mission accomplished, job done, rescue achieved. It's good because Jesus' cry of "it is finished" means that Jesus has done everything for us. We can't do anything more to earn God's love. It's good because Jesus' cry of "it is finished" reminds us that God loves us so much, whatever's going on in our life. But "it is finished" doesn't mean that that's the end of Jesus' story. We have to come back next week where we can celebrate the wonderful news of the resurrection. Why don't I close us in prayer? Father God, thank you that Jesus could say on the cross, "it is finished," that he lived that perfect life, that he achieved that rescue mission that he came to earth for. Thank you that that is good news for us if we trust in him. Thank you that we don't have to do anything more to earn your love. Thank you that we can be sure that you love us so much now because of that swap that Jesus made for us. Help us to remember that this Easter time. Remember, as we celebrate Good Friday, that it really is good news. In Jesus' name, amen.